Aaron Campbell, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, sir. And you?
I'm doing all right. Today we're talking longevity.
Longevity.
How long do you want to live?
I think it would be really, really nice to live to be a ripe old age of, I would say, 100. I'd like to become a centenarian, as long as the quality of my life is good.
I'd like to be a millenarian.
A millenarian.
I'd like to
live a million years?
No, a thousand years. A millenarian.
Oh, a millenarian.
Actually,
okay.
That's probably not a word. But I'm fine with that. I could be, you know, a brain in a bottle on somebody's shelf in a laboratory.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a great
life,
man. Sounds like a great life.
The future is bright for longevity. Every decade, it seems like the estimates are creeping up. I don't know what the... I remember growing up, it was, at least in the U.S., it was, you know, in the low 70s.
Yeah,
like
right,
70
right.
for men and 72 for women, or 73. Right. And I think it's in the high 70s in the U.S. now.
Yeah, it's creeping up everywhere.
It's creeping up everywhere,
sure.
Yeah.
Mostly due to medical technology, advances in medical technology,
medical
I would
technology
assume.
And... yeah, is that why it is?
That's just my own personal opinion.
Or I wonder if it's in the developing world, if it's also access to better nutrition.
That could be, yeah.
But probably medicine and nutrition and food.
Yeah, it could be.
It's probably not access to the book, The Blue Zones.
No,
but
no.
That is a very interesting book.
Yeah.
And is the topic of this month's lesson.
That's right.
There are four main characteristics, right?
Yeah, that's right. This guy, Dan Buettner, he went around the world and tried to identify communities that had a much, you know, longer, lifespan than the people living in other areas around there. And he found that there's these four different parts. One is moving naturally.
Mm-hmm.
The other is diet, the right kind of diet. And then the other two are non-physical things. They have to do with our outlook on life, having the right outlook. And the other is a sense of belonging, whether it's to family or religion or, you know, to a close group of people. So
too physical, too non-physical.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, normally you would probably think of the physical things as being the most connected to how long a life you're going to live.
Right.
I find the, you know, the physical things, tying it to having exercise as part of your everyday life and... you know, having the right kind of food or the right kind of fuel for your body.
Yeah, right.
Interesting, but the non-physical, that's something that we don't usually associate with how long you live.
Right. But I think the stress is like a really huge, plays a huge role. And I think a lot of stress is self-created. I think a lot of it has to do with our outlook on life and not being able to relax and not being able to let go. And I think the people we surround ourselves with can have a big influence on not just our physical lifestyle, but also on the way we think about things and the way we react to things emotionally. And
you ever heard the Jim Rome quote, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with"?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
So you're in good company.
Oh, no. No, that's actually, I'm joking. I mean, but that's interesting. The five people you're closest to.
Yeah. I think it's completely, you know, unscientific and something he just pulled out of his butt.
Yeah.
But I like it.
Yeah.
Cause I think, you know, you certainly are affected by the people around you and, you know, not just of course outlook, you know, you're around negative people, you're going to be negative. You're around positive, ambitious people.
Sure.
It's going to rub off on you.
It's going to rub off on you.
I mean, also your physical habits.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a lot of time around Barbara, and she's a really healthy eater.
Mm-hmm.
So it's affected my
diet.
Barbara's
your friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's somebody who focuses a lot on trying to optimize her diet and get the most nutrition possible. She eats a lot of raw food.
Right.
A lot of vegetable juice.
Yeah.
And, before I met her, not in a million years would I have thought of drinking vegetable juice.
Right. Yeah.
I think not just your outlook, but the actual way you live your life is affected by the kind of people that you're around the
most.
So what were the non-physical things again? A sense of well-being through feeling a part of a community.
Yeah, a sense of belonging. And for most people, that's family. Family first. Like, you know, just a devotion to your family.
Right.
And, you know, as in the seven Latter-day Adventist community, which is a religious community, that could also be, feeling part of something that is greater than just this human existence, feeling part one with the universe or with God or however you define it.
Right.
That's also a part of
right.
it. And then right tribe, the people you are surrounded by.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think these circles of community, they're really all around us. There's obvious, there's, you know, your family.
Yeah.
And then religion.
Yeah.
You know, your religious group, if you're religious.
Yeah.
The people that you work around, your coworkers, and of course your friends.
Yeah.
And whatever social circles you're around, from hobbies to volunteering.
Right.
Yeah, how do you think that you rank your social life in terms of feeling like you fit in?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I mean, you really have, for me, it's my family. And I'm not just talking about my immediate family, my wife and children, but also my extended family, my parents, my sister, aunts and uncles and cousins. That's always been an important part of my life, in the sense that I feel that those people are there for me.
Uh-huh.
If in a time of need, if I ever needed help, those are the people I would go to. And I am 100% sure that they would help me.
Uh-huh.
And having that sense of having that safety net there, I think takes away a lot of the stresses, the potential stresses that could be there when you think about the uncertainty of the future and how we cannot predict what kind of terrible
right.
situations we
right.
might be in and when we need help. And if you have that, wow, that can really
right.
Make and you less
really,
stressed
it
out.
Really,
you know?
It really yeah. affects, you yeah. know, it's of course, stress isn't all physical. There's
yeah.
a lot of chemicals in our body, like cortisol,
mm-hmm.
that rises when
mm-hmm.
we're feeling stressed. And, you know, those do have an effect on longevity.
Right.
So your family and your tap dancing club, I know, is very important in
yeah,
your
right.
life. You rely on those tap dancers.
Yeah, yeah, right.
When did you start tap dancing?
Dan, I don't tap dance. That's a fantasy
okay.
that you have.
Don't be shy.
I don't tap dance, but I know you want to be a tap dancer. I do
one
know.
Day,
yeah.
one day.
Yeah.
No, yeah, so a sense of belonging and
having a, like the right outlook, and what that means is having a life purpose on the one hand,
uh-huh.
and on the other, like being able to downshift, like, you know, at certain points of the day or certain points of the week, where you just let go and you relax and you don't worry about anything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so those were the two main things.
I like that. I like that expression, downshift.
Yeah.
You know, it's a word we use in connection with a car.
That's right, shifting
when
down.
When we're shifting
yeah.
down and slowing down the revolutions of the
engine.
Yeah,
essentially. Yeah.
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 And we also can use that downshift to say we're relaxing or we're
yeah.
slowing down our life.
Yeah. yeah. So do you get downshift built into your daily life?
Not as much as I'd like.
Yeah.
Especially these days.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel the same. It's a lot harder these days. But, you know, one of the things I've been doing recently, more and more, is visiting the public baths,
uh-huh.
the Japanese
uh-huh.
sento.
Uh-huh.
And that is a great way to just
uh-huh.
let go and relax. And it's almost a physical, you know, sense of
yeah.
well-being, because you're surrounded by really warm water and steam and things like that, and you just can really let go. It's nice. Yeah. Do you ever visit the public baths?
I love the public baths.
Yeah.
I love the onsens.
Yeah.
Very relaxing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was I going to say? A sense of belonging. And you were asking me, do I downshift enough? Probably
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
Just like you, I got a family. I've got a job. We've got Deep English. We're
yeah.
always struggling
running.
To make these lessons
running,
and make everything work and keep
yeah.
the community going.
Yeah.
But you know, even though we're so busy with Deep English,
yeah.
I mean, I think we both get some satisfaction in that we're able to reach out to people all over the world.
Yeah.
I mean, how amazing is that?
And that's
I
think, you know, that fits into my ikigai, my
right.
life purpose.
Right.
You know, it's about taking what I've learned and what I can do in my profession and trying to provide benefit to other people.
Yeah.
That brings
putting,
me a sense of well-being.
Putting
yeah.
value out to the
yeah.
world and,
yeah.
and Yeah, when I think about all of the people, not just the people who buy our products, but
Right,
all
right.
also the people out there who the tens of thousands of people who are enjoying our free lessons
Yeah.
at the same time, like I feel humbled.
Yeah, and so I almost feel like a sense of connection to something bigger than me in that sense. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
And I think that that's a interesting point you bring up, a connection to something bigger than yourself. I think that's what's behind a lot of people's attraction to groups and movements and doing charity and,
Right.
helping people and joining religions or doing work projects where they feel like they're putting value into the world is you feel like you're part of something bigger than yourself. And some psychologists might say that the flip side of that is we are trying to soothe our fear of death, that we're always that we as human beings we're carrying around the knowledge that we will die one day and we will cease to exist. And that's one of the most frightening things,
Sure.
even if consciously, like I don't consciously think, I'm not afraid of dying in one sense. I don't think about it or worry about
Yeah,
it,
right.
but maybe on a deeper level there is a fear of one day this life will come to an end, and that's why some psychologists say we seek to be a part of something bigger than ourselves,
Sure,
whether
that
it's
makes
religion
sense.
or
Because
doing
that
something
carries
meaningful in our
on, that
life.
carries on, and whereas our individual self does not. Yeah,
So
yeah.
if you believe in that sort of that psychological view that we all are trying to deny death in some way by being a part of meaningful endeavors, meaningful work in our life or groups in our life, then
Well, that takes stress away. I mean, that's really what it comes down
yeah.
to.
So I mean, in trying to deny the inevitable death, we're actually kind of prolonging our life in a physical sense if it's making
Sure.
us healthier.
Yeah, I mean, like when I reflect on these non-physical aspects of Blue Zone lifestyles, both of them seem to have a very stabilizing effect psychologically, very stabilizing, and emotionally too. I mean, if you have a life purpose, if you wake up in the morning and you know exactly what you have to do and what you are here to do, and you're surrounded by people who support you, and you've got that safety net there, and you are devoted to your family and to your community, it's like, wow, like all the stresses of life can be so much more diminished in that situation, as opposed to someone who's on their own and, worried about the future, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what surprised me most about thinking about Blue Zone lifestyles?
What's that?
One of the physical aspects, which is exercise. I found it really interesting that not one of these communities, well, the people in these communities, actually exercised as an activity or something that they plan to do. And I just that struck me as really interesting. Like natural movement was just built into their daily
Right.
lifestyle.
It's part of
And
their
it, you know,
regular
and
life.
in our American culture, we're always hearing in the media and from our friends and all around how important exercise is, how you got to get out there and exercise. If you want to be healthy, you have to get out and you have to exercise. You should play sports, or you should go to the gym, or you should go swimming, and you have to set time aside for it and make it a priority. And it's like, wow, not really. I mean, the only reason you have to do those things is because we have such a sedentary, unhealthy lifestyle in the States in general. People sitting on chairs and sofas and going from an air-conditioned room to into the garage where there's a car waiting, and they drive the car to the supermarket and they do their shopping, and then they drive to the shopping center and the post office and drive back home and drive to work. And it's a car culture. And yeah, you've got to make time to do those things. But here in Japan, for example, you and I both know that w there's just a lot more natural movement taking place in terms of getting up and down off the floor, or having to walk up and down flights of stairs at the subway station, or just getting around town. There's a lot more walking, And when I have American friends come to visit me in Japan, that's one of the things I always hear from them is, oh, how much walking we did today. And it's like, yeah, well, that's lifestyle of Japan. And of course, the diet too.
So, right. You know? I mean, yeah. Back to these people in the Blue Zones, it was built into the lifestyle, but maybe they would be even healthier if there was health clubs. And they were also working out, doing some aerobics, lifting some weights, doing some jazzercise, or tap dancing like you enjoy, to bring it full circle. So, in the modern world, we have to find ways because most of us don't have jobs that require physical effort.
Yes,
that's right. We could head into the country. And
well, Ellsworth Whareham, I think, is a good example of that. Like he didn't have, at the age of 97, he didn't have to build
a
privacy fence. He chose to do
it.
But it's that kind of sort of mentality.
Right.
And I think these are ways that we could make our lifestyles a little bit bluer in this sense of the word, a blue zone sense of the word. Uh-huh. Is by looking for opportunities to do more physical things instead of, let's say, taking the train to work. I mean, we could walk, we could ride our bikes more. We could, instead of going to the supermarket in a car, we could walk or ride a bicycle. And, things like that. So
you ever try to do that? You ever try to like park your car farther away in the farthest parking space or?
No.
Yeah, I know you don't drive.
Drive much. Yeah.
Or, you know, you could park your bicycle in a
here's something. When we met a few weeks ago to do a recording, I walked there.
Uh-huh.
And that was about a 90-minute walk.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah. And I just did that the other day when I met you for dinner with Barbara, actually.
Yeah, but you want to do that every day. You're going to have to get rid of your family.
I don't have time. But that's an example of the type of thing you could do.
Yeah.
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 And the other thing about living here in Japan as an American that I've noticed is portion sizes when it comes to diet. And I'll never forget when I first came to Japan, my very first couple of weeks here, I had an American stomach in the sense that I was used to eating until I was full.
Right.
And I was used to really large portions. And I'll never forget, I went to this one place for lunch and I ordered the lunch set and I ate it and it was really small. And I was still hungry, so I called the waitress over and I ordered another lunch set.
Yeah,
and she just looked at me like I was crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Two lunches. What do you need
barbarian.
Two lunches for? But as the longer I lived here, the more my stomach got used to eating smaller portions.
Yeah,
and then when I went back to the States for a visit, it was obscene. The portion size, especially at restaurants, just absolutely obscene. My wife and I. Went to this really nice restaurant for our anniversary, and this was about 10 years ago, and we looked at the menu, and the menu was wonderful. We were looking really, really looking forward to tasting all these different gourmet foods, and we ordered the appetizer to start with, and it was like a sample platter. And by the time we finished the appetizer, we were full.
Yeah.
And we haven't even gotten to the main course, and we were full. So yeah, it's just portion size.
Well, we just had dinner at you know Tige's, and which is a local Irish pub restaurant here in Kyoto, and we were definitely getting Western portions. By the time we finished those appetizers, I felt like I had eaten two Thanksgiving dinners. I felt sick.
You're looking green.
Like I could, I think I had one bite of the main course, the quinoa.
Yeah.
And that was all vegetarian too, but it was super heavy and super big.
It's just big. It's big. Yeah. Big and heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So eating light, caloric restriction.
Right.
These are things that people who live a long time, do. And there's a saying in English. I'm sure you've heard it before. It takes a lean horse to run a long race.
I've never heard that before.
Really? My dad used to say that all the time. Maybe because my dad's from Kentucky. And that's a big horse racing.
Takes a lean horse to run a
long race. Okay. Yeah. Takes a lean horse to run a long race. Yeah.
So I think you should try to, make more movement, more activity part of your daily life.
Why? I'm pretty active.
You said you're on a little fitness kick.
Well,
right?
That's true. Yeah, right? Yeah. I could use a little more activity.
So go get me a cup of coffee.
You want me to go get you? I'll be happy
creams,
to do
one
that
sugar.
For you, Dan.
Okay, okay, go
I'll
do it.
I'll be happy to do
go
it.
Go do yeah. it.
I'll walk to Starbucks and walk back.
So are you going to, speaking of that, are you going to try to include some Blue Zone habits in your life?
Oh, well, I think for me, the physical side is a little more important these days.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I've got the non-physical side covered
uh-huh.
in terms of my outlook uh-huh. and being surrounded by, you know, good people. Like, I really feel I'm blessed in that uh-huh. sense. But yeah, the natural movement and exercise, I think they're both of those. The natural movement and the food, the diet. I think I could eat less. I still eat too much. I think I could make more of my diet plant-based. I still eat probably more meat than I should
uh-huh.
for in terms of my health. And yeah, getting more exercise. Of course, I can always use more of that. I spend a lot of time in front of a computer sitting, which is bad.
Yeah.
In fact, they've said sitting
yeah.
nowadays could be worse than smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
If you're doing it too much.
Yeah.
And I do. I do too much sitting. So maybe another thing I can do is start maybe fixing up my office so that I'm standing while
yeah.
I'm using my computer instead of sitting. I know you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I need to do that. So maybe that's what you can do in terms of service, is you can come to my house and you
and
can
set up a stand-up desk
stand
for
up
you.
A setup,
you know, you know what else is
yeah.
I would like
yeah.
in addition to a stand-up desk is
yeah.
I would like a treadmill desk
yeah,
or a bicycle desk.
Bicycle desk. That's what I would like to have.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Maybe.
Yeah.
Let's have bicycle desks.
Yeah. Race to work.
Race,
race
to
through
work.
What I'm trying to do uh-huh. is I, you know, it's kind of cheesy, but, gratitude journals.
Well,
without the journal part. Without the without
you mean
the,
like just like where you set aside 5 minutes and
well,
you
I'm trying to
on
what
how
I'm trying
grateful
to,
you yes. are to me for all
every
the
morning
things
I'm trying to
that
think
I do for you
about how grateful I am to be mentoring you and to be coaching you
oh,
to be
yeah.
a better person.
Yeah.
And I do that for about 5 minutes every day, and I think if there's one thing I've done in this life is I've helped Aaron grow up to be a man. And no, seriously, I actually every morning I, uh-huh. for the past few days, I try to start the day thinking of all the things that I'm grateful for.
Yeah, that's a good thing
and,
to do.
And I try to think about, you know, as much as I love Deep English, sometimes I get stressed out
sure.
having to produce all these lessons and all
right.
the things we have to do for the business side.
Mm-hmm.
And I just try to think about what a great opportunity we have
yeah.
and how we're connecting with people all over the
yeah,
world.
Yeah.
And I just
yeah.
feel really grateful.
Absolutely.
So to all of you listening, thank you. We really appreciate all of you.
And I echo Dan's sentiment.
Okay. I think that we're at an end.